Man, I'm excited about today. Lord, bless the reading of your word. And bless this message, bless our time together. There's a lot to accomplish today. And I just pray it brings glory to you today, our risen Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. John 14, verse 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Say that. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Say that. Believe also in me. This is Jesus speaking. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. A promise is a very important thing. All of Jesus' promises are true. And according to him, this is how he describes his promises. They are yes and they are amen. His promises are yes and amen. And I don't care who you are. If you're the most trusted person in the world, that only goes so far because you are human. And it's a wonderful thing to have trust and to keep trust. And I want to believe that that is still there. But don't look at people like you look at Jesus. Don't look at people as any type of example when it comes to trustworthiness. Why? Because the value placed on a promise is determined by the history of consistency and the track record of the promise maker. And then I put in parentheses, the track record of the promise keeper. Because there could be a discrepancy there, right? We're all human. We can be a promise maker. And we can also from that be a promise keeper. But if we're just the promise maker and not a promise keeper, what gets lost there is good intention. And the results determine believability or just good intention. Have you ever, well, let me just give you me as an example. Honey, did you get that milk that you went to the store for? I only sent you for one thing, and I come back with bags. I'll be right back. I intended to. I'm at the place now, I can be saying, I mean, it's just take storm food. Why in the world do we get milk, bread, milk and bread? Get the milk and bread. You would think that we eat a serving of milk and bread every day. Have you had your milk and bread, honey? No, nobody does that. But let the wind of a storm come. Milk and bread, milk and bread. Got to have milk and bread. I guess we can go anywhere from there, right? Maybe that's what it is. But we're crazy like that, right? Milk and bread. Why did I even say that? I don't know. Because I'm going to the store to get something. See? That's me right there. I promise you. I didn't plan that. That you just saw me and she's like, hey, that's the biggest amen she's had all day. Because I'm at the place now, I can go in thinking I need this, this, and this. And I don't know what it is about those aisles, but I can feel it leaving me when I go. It's like washes off of me. Like, why am I here? And what did I come for? And I will stand there. There's the buggies, and I get in, and sometimes I'm just stuck like right there, like, why am I here? You're laughing because you're like that too. That's why you married my daughter. You got it too. So it's an attractive quality. But I'm telling you anymore, if I don't write it down, I forget it's there. I went to my phone a minute ago. I wasn't getting a text or a call from anybody. It's because I wrote things down, or I reminded myself, hey, set a reminder for this, set a reminder for this. As I was driving down the road yesterday, I'm like, things I want to say. And it wasn't until we started singing, I'm like, don't forget the things that you wanted to say. And I'll get to that. But so the history of consistency and the track record results in believability or just good intention. I intended to. Jesus' promises, they are all true. And so here we are, and Jesus is saying, I gotta go. And he's been telling them almost from the very beginning, the plan is I die, but I come back. And they're like, I don't get that, but I'm going to follow you. And they saw miracle after miracle after miracle. Do you know that the last verses of this book, John, says, I reckon if every miracle that Jesus wrote, that what he did on this earth, if you wrote down every miracle that he did, it said the world would not have room to contain the books that could be written. You think of somebody that's a great author. Maybe they got enough. Just imagine them as books stacked sideways. Let's do that. And think, that guy wrote all of that. I'm like, man, that guy, all he did was eat, drink, sleep, go to the bathroom, and write. Jesus did so much, the world wouldn't be able to contain the books. You know what that tells me? We should have something to say about Jesus as believers. He's done enough in my life. Let me read my book to you. Right? That should come out of us, I believe. So, but I love Thomas. You know, Thomas gets a bad rap. Doubting Thomas. Let me tell you something about doubting Thomas. Forget doubting Thomas. Think about doubting me. This is something that I've learned through the years of serving the Lord and trusting Him. The older I get, the bigger temptations that I have are to doubt Him. To be afraid that it's not true. That's what the enemy comes and tries to tempt me with. Yeah, it'll happen for somebody else, but it probably won't happen for you. Do you understand what I'm saying? I grew up in a culture of name it, claim it. And I get some of that, but like I preached a few weeks ago, God's got a will, and that's what I've learned to pray. So that I can pray correctly, I'm going to pray His will. Yes, I'm going to pray for everything my mind can possibly think of, but by the time it's over, that's what I told you, that picture, that fervent prayer bends my mind to His will. I'll keep praying until I get to the place where I say, okay, God, I can accept Your will. And that's usually, for me, that's the last prayer. Or when I learned to pray that way, it was the last prayer I prayed. And I told you it was because of my daughter, because I didn't want to pray that last prayer, because that meant now I've released everything to You, God. But if I did that on the front side and started praying, God, Your will be done, I think I would get more closely to where He's wanting me to walk with Him. Just trust. You know, I've learned this about God. He doesn't really need a whole lot of my input. He's never going like, you know, John, I got that. There it is, John. Yeah, what do you think? Mm-mm. It's trust. Can you trust me? And Thomas, Jesus just gave him this thing, and it sounded so wonderful. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And here's the problem. And if I go, I'll come back. Because I said it. And where I go, I got to go do this because when I go there, I'm going to fix this thing that got messed up a long time ago. And you don't understand it, but we knew this was going to happen. That's why we put eternity in your heart. But we knew that this was going to happen, so we had to go fix it. Now, I've got to go away to this place, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. But when I come back again, I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you will be also. Do you see that? The promises that are there is that I've got to go away. But if I go, I'll come back, and then we'll be together forever. Y'all preached a whole lot of sermon this morning while y'all was singing. Y'all were driving me nuts. I'm like, save me something. It was so good. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way? I love that he said that. I'm so appreciative that he said that because it leaves room for my little crazy questions for God. He walked before them as an example. He did things, and he said, you know the way. And they're like, Thomas, like, well, we don't know the way. We don't know where you're going. And Jesus said this, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, through me, through me. Flip over a couple pages to John chapter 20. Verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Understand, Jesus had just died, and they were thinking, we're next. They're coming to get us too. When will Jesus show up for you? Jesus came while they were assembled like this for fear. While they were in fear, Jesus came. Hallelujah. And stood in the midst and said to them, peace. Say that word, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. That says so much to me right there. Even when he said it, he had to show them something too for them to come back to a place of peace. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. Like another way, say peace. Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now Thomas, see Thomas is back in the scene again. Thomas called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, you know, Thomas had to be thinking, I missed it. If something happened, I missed it. And I'm not going to believe it unless I see it. So he's sitting there in a doubtful place. The other disciples therefore said to Thomas, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. See my hands. Significant scars. Scars of distinction. There was something about these scars. From these scars, blood was spilt at one time. From these scars, there were places, I heard somebody preach a message on this one time, but talked about the seven places that Jesus bled from. And if you add it up, it does equal seven. Both hands, both feet, his side, his head, Everywhere that he bled from, where Jesus bled, there was a place that he bled, and they broke it down to say there was a reason he bled from that place. For your head, anything, your mind, anything that going, your side, your body, anything, your hands, wherever you would go, your feet, wherever you would walk, whatever you would touch, it was a very powerful thing. But those scars meant something. It meant, I mean, it had just happened, right? Hadn't it just happened 3 days ago? Think about that. 3 days ago, cut yourself anywhere, and you will not have a scar in 3 days. It's going to take a while. And the first thing he showed them was scars. Why scars? Because he did this a long time ago. He did. Healing was already in place. You see the scars. That meant healing is already in place. And it began to minister to them. And then he said this again. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with him. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Say it one more time. Peace to you. It's going to make sense in a second. Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." When you've heard it and then you've seen it, there's nothing left. That's whenever he was able to boldly say, he went from doubting Thomas to proclaiming Thomas, "My Lord and my God." That had to be a powerful thing for Thomas. But Jesus, who was always compelled to teach in any circumstance, said this immediately. Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Do something right here. Look at me when I say this. Thomas, believe. Because you have seen me, you have believed. Look at me right here. Now look at the person beside you. Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed. You're looking at somebody right now that fits into that category. That's us. We've not seen, but we believe. I've not seen, but I believe. Something very telling right here when he said, "Do not be," verse 27, "do not be unbelieving, but believing." It is a bad thing to be an unbelieving believer. But don't we fall into that category? I always hearken back to the man in front of Jesus who needed a miracle. And he came to Jesus and Jesus said this. He said, "Anything is possible to him that believes." And the man said right in front of Jesus, I believe, Lord, but help me with my unbelief." I'm so grateful for that scripture. That's a great picture for all of us to always hearken back to. Because there's going to be times that even though we believe, unbelief is just lingering and lurking right there, trying to pull you out of focus. And he said, "It's possible if you believe." It's all right there on believing in him. But he said this, "The reason I told you to say peace over time," in verse 19 and verse 21 and verse 26, he says this, "Peace unto you, peace unto you." Now that was not the shalom peace, it was the irene peace. And it meant something different than the shalom peace. The irene peace was something that Jesus, it was a salutation that he gave after his resurrection. So you remember this. It had to be very confusing for them at times. And the Bible says they didn't get it until after he died. And then they're like, "Oh, that's what he meant when he said." Now, when he said peace to them, peace came to them. Why? Why? Because that word peace there meant something. That peace meant that we are at one again. It's us again. It's us again. You know the only problem that they had with Jesus not being there? They only had one problem with Jesus not being there. You know what it was? That Jesus wasn't there. And when he came back, like he said, see, every other promise he made, he kept. But they were forgetting the promise because it got muddled because there was too much going on. And the last thing they did was betray him and act like they didn't know him. And they all ran away, right? So imagine the guilt of that. Just in the human, if you're trusting someone and they know that you trust them, but the biggest trouble hits that ever hit and you wouldn't hide. Oh no, I guess we blew it this time. I mean, he did everything else, but I dropped the ball. I quit believing. He said it's not a good thing to be an unbelieving believer, and he's gone And now that they got him, I guess they got him. And if they got him, they're going to get us. Let's go hide. Let's go hide. And the next thing, Jesus shows up and he says, peace. In other words, we're one again. We're one again. We're one again. There's a word that means an exchange has taken place for us to get to this point. There's a word that means a reconciliation has happened. There's a word that means everything has been fixed. There's a word that means a propitiation has taken place. There's a word that means blood, precious blood, has covered all of my sin. That word is atonement. That word is the same thing that it means right here. Peace. We are one again. Atonement. Spell it. A-T-O-N-E-M-E-N-T. At-one-ment. Atonement. At-one-ment. Peace filled the room. Because Jesus was there. And he gave him the promise, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And they're just now starting to get it. Verse 31. Verse 30 and 31. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. There is so much to this right here, that you believe and you continue believing. The thing about believing in Jesus, it's not just a one-time stroke. It's not just you hit it one time and you got it. Believe and continue to believe. Because the enemy is going to try to convince you that surely, okay, you believe, but surely that's not going to last very long. Surely something's going to happen and you're going to stop believing. And his word says, it's not good to be an unbelieving believer. These miracles, these things that I've done, this is that you may believe. This Resurrection Sunday, we're here because we believe. This is the stuff that it's all made of right here. He said, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So to believe and to continue to believe, that's actually translated into acknowledging Jesus at the Savior level, so much so that you are now devoted to him. That means that you acknowledge him. That's all wrapped up into acknowledging him. What does Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all of your ways. Acknowledge him. Believe, continue to believe at the level of Him being your Savior and having everything that you need and being able to do anything so much to the point that you are devoted to Him. It paints a very broad picture right there, but it encapsulates it into this word of believing and trusting in Him. Believing in Him. Trusting in Him. Continuing to believe. Start out believing. Finish believing. Continue believing. What will get you from believing to continuing to believe is faith as it grows. These obstacles that happen between these checkpoints. Just think as your belief as a checkpoint, that once you have been saved, you hit this checkpoint and you can go on to the next checkpoint. And then you pick it up again and I believe and I can go. I don't play video games. Whenever we go to the beach, we've always got to go to the arcade. And it's the most boring thing to me. So I try to get on the craziest thing that seems like it might be fun. And it was great at the time, but they got these motorcycles that you sit on them and you can lean over back and forth. And I'm really just stretching my leg. This is so boring. I'll be glad when we're out of quarters or tokens and we can leave. But I started realizing, watching them play it one time, like, oh, I get it. If I can make it to that checkpoint, I can keep going and play extra. And I realized, oh, Cheap John, the value in Cheap John is like, well, I might as well get my money's worth while I'm here. And I start trying to get the checkpoints, right? And that's how our faith is. We got to hit these checkpoints. Yes, I believe. But if I can hit this, if I can come through this obstacle and make all these hairpin turns and not crash the whole thing, I'm going to hit a checkpoint where He's going to show up. And the truth is, He was there the whole time. He wasn't a checkpoint. You needed a checkpoint, but He was there all the time. What brings the checkpoint? I'm telling you, I played them so little, but I got excited about it. And I'd see that checkpoint out in the distance, and I'd be like, 3, 2, 1. I've had that thing. Stop, and I see the checkpoint right now. I'm like, oh, 18. This one takes 80 card tokens. You know, I'm going to get that checkpoint. But here's the thing. If I want that checkpoint to get here sooner, acknowledge Him. There it is right there. God, start checking the trustworthiness of the track record. You did it before. God, I believe. It's your track record. It's perfect. It's your history. There's no one like you. Lastly, Matthew 28. One of the full accounts. I'm just going to start in verse 1. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning. His clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. I wish I could have seen this. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for He is risen, as He said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." I read this many times this week, and what began to jump off the page to me, and we all know He is risen. He is risen. We say it over and over. What just started jumping off the page to me is what the angel said when he said, "As He said." Promise fulfilled. Promises fulfilled. He is risen, as He said. That I don't know how an angel says it, but that had to feel extra special to be able to say, "As He said." Not just, I'm going to show you another miracle. Here's another miracle that he did. Ba-da! He's risen, as he said. I just could feel understanding coming into those disciples at that time. Oh, that's what he meant. That had to be so special for them. There had to be something that turned inside of them right there. And just, you know how you get a concept sometimes and it's just been so foreign to you, but all of a sudden you get it. That right there is the teacher's joy when the student finally gets it and they see it click inside of them. He is risen, as he said. Reminds me of Kinsey. I think that the angel may have said that kind of braggy right there. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Say it kind of braggy. Sometimes we got to say it kind of braggy. As he said. And go quickly. Oh, come see the place where the Lord lay. That was significant. Every word of this is significant. But come see the place where he lay. So you saw that he was dead. You know he took him away. And you know he was placed in this tomb right here. But so you know, come see the place where he lay. Because here's the thing. If they would have come and seen the place and he was still laying there, that meant now too much time has passed. Too much time has passed. Because he's a man of his. Everything harkened back to the promise that was given. He's not here. He's not here. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. Please say Galilee. There you will see him. Say Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So when they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to, and there they will see me. Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while he slept. Cover up. Government cover up. And if this comes to the governor's ear, we will appease him and make you secure. We'll fix it. But you can't fix what's already been fixed. So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. There's still a whole lot of deception and scandal around this. But don't worry about it. Jesus has got this. Then the 11 disciples went away into... Well, there we are. Just like he said. To the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Then teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. He said, go to Galilee. I'll just say it real quick. The word Galilee there means the circle or a circuit. He said, go there. And he had a mountain prepared for them. He said, I'm just telling you what it said. He said he had a place on a mountain prepared for them to go to. Okay? He said, and I will meet you there. The thing about Galilee, it was a very fertile region. Very fertile region. The populace having 204 towns and villages. And that's where Jesus told them to go. And he said this, go ye. But we say, come too. I preached this not too long ago. Jesus had a go you gospel that he preached. And he told them, preach this go you gospel. But as preachers, we want the church filled, because let's just peel the veil off a thing. The more people that we get, the bigger bank account that we got, the nicer building we can go. The more youth trips we can take the youth on. The more pizza we can buy for the kids. Do you understand that? Jesus didn't say any of that. We came up with that part. We came up with the come to, the gospel. And we have left the go ye out of it. Why? Because the go ye takes the onus off of Jesus and puts it on us, because the work is already done. And we don't have to know a lot. But I told you earlier, if Jesus has done for you, you got a book that you could talk about. And let me tell you, nothing is more is better reading than to sit at the feet of the author that wrote the book. You're the author. And he's given you something that he's done for you. And you would be shocked at how your world opened up, hit somebody else's world. I thought when Christine and I were first married, we lost a pregnancy. We had a baby that did not come all the way through the birthing process, and it broke my heart, and I cried, and I couldn't understand it, and I had so many questions for God. First one, we were actually showed up to hear the heartbeat, and we could see the little cluster inside the circle right there where it was supposed to be. And they were searching for the heartbeat, and they had that little monitor and that little amplifier. It sounds like it, doesn't it? That's pretty good, right? You want to hear it again? But we didn't hear that, because there was nothing there. And it broke my heart. And I had so many questions for God. I could not believe it. I couldn't believe that's where we were at. I couldn't believe that this baby didn't make it. And that was the hardest thing for me at the time that I think I'd ever gone up against. It was the reality. God, you know, I got a question for you here. I don't want to ask this in front of my wife, because I don't want what's on me to get into her, but I don't understand you. Thomas, see, it's easy for me to preach Thomas, because I've been Thomas before. But I can tell you this, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. And this thing that Jesus comes out of this saying right here is that go to Galilee. I've got a place planned for them. I've got a mountain planned for them. All that was translated to this. A mountain was a rising. It was the nearest place spoken of that required some effort to climb. You think go ye should mean anything to us? He told them to go there, and he would meet them there where he said. Jesus said, I go away, and if I go, I'll come back, and I'll receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there we will always be together. But he said this, it's me, I'm back, look at my hands, you need to touch here, put your hands, you need to see the scar, put your hand at the scar. It's me. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. The next place he was ready to go was to speak the word of God. He was prepared to go ye at that point. Take it all the way back to Isaiah. He saw God high and lifted up. And he saw himself. I'm a sinful man. I dwell among sinful people. The angel took the coal off the altar, touched it to his lip. And the Lord said, who will go for us? And Isaiah said, send me. You see something that happens right there whenever we grasp, but there's something bigger to this than just us coming to church. I'm a Christian. Go ye. Imagine how the disciples felt on the night that Jesus told them, I'm going to go. I'm going to die. And by what we're about to do right now, I need you to continue to do this until we come together again. As you do this act, you will be keeping my death until I come. It had to do with the body of Jesus. It had to do with the blood of Jesus. I can only imagine what a scene of confusion it had to be for them. So it's come down to this. The Bible describes it as this happening on the very night that Jesus was betrayed. This is where the metal of all of the disciples was going to be shown for what it was. But also the glory of God was going to be revealed. That should be hope for us. And he said, I'm going to do something right now. And through history, we are going to keep this and remember my body and my blood. But see, this was all future for them, so they didn't understand it. We get it clearly now because it's past for us. But the danger is, because it's past for us, we forget the value of it. We forget that this was another promise fulfilled now for us. This was future that was getting ready to be past, just like we know it. We know it. Michaela is going to come and sing a song for you right now. You're going to be served with the elements for confusion. I'm just going to ask you to keep this time very respectful right now. This is a time as you are served the juice and the bread. This is a time of reflection for each one of us. This is a time when we go back and remember what Jesus did for us and remember the guilt of our sins. And as they sang it so beautifully, all my guilt, you removed all my guilt and all of my stains. And it was because of his mercy. So think right now. Take this time to analyze yourself. To ask God to look at me. If I'm forgetting something, God, please, I need to get it right now. Let your mercy fall on me. Forgive me of my sins. Thank you that you've already done it. But if there's anything that's on the table right now, if anything that's hidden, is anything that I'm missing, God, I want to be able to thank you for your forgiveness for me right now. As she sings this, you're going to be served the communion.